Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I am your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we talk about on this podcast. And today's podcast is going to be a little bit different. We're about to launch into a series on Genius Hour, and you can look forward to that starting next week. But today's actually my birthday. And with that in mind, I want to share some thoughts about turning 40. This feels like a big milestone, right? I've been on this earth for 40 years. It's like, 280 dog years or something like that. So here we go. Quick confession. I absolutely love birthdays. Now, I'm not great at wishing folks happy birthday online. And that's mostly because I'm never sure what to capitalize. Do you capitalize both happy and birthday, or just happy and not birthday, or don't capitalize any of it, just say happy birthday? And if you say, I hope you have a happy birthday, does that make it suddenly not capitalized? You see what I mean? It's really kind of a challenge. But I do love birthdays, and I love them because they're a celebration for who you are rather than what you've accomplished. Now, we have holidays that commemorate groundbreaking historical events, and we have celebrations for those big things that you've done, like you graduate or you've gotten a promotion at work and you celebrate. But birthdays, they're just entirely different. They celebrate the normal. They celebrate the fact that you stuck around for another year. And that in and of itself is worth celebrating. A birthday for me is a celebration of grace. It's a reminder that life is a gift. And we need to never, ever, ever forget that. Like I said, I'm turning 40 years old. And I've heard that 40 is supposed to be a hard birthday. In fact, I've seen research on the decline of happiness that hits rock bottom at 48 before bouncing back up later on. But I gotta be honest with you, that has not been my experience at all. In my early 20s, I was angsty and I was self-righteous, and honestly, I was pretty angry. At 30, I could look back at my 21-year-old self and say, I think I've grown. I can't believe who I used to be. But at 40, I think I can now say, yeah, I've grown older and I've grown as a person. But that 21-year-old angsty kid was just really scared and lost and insecure. And there are some days when that 21-year-old kid is still me. And that's okay too. If I could go back in time, I'd give that 21-year-old kid a giant bear hug and tell him, hey man, you'll be okay. You're going to meet the most amazing woman, and you'll have three kids who will amaze you in what they can do and who they become. And you're going to meet some pretty cool friends along the way. Just relax and enjoy the journey. I am incredibly lucky. Over the last decade, I've had a chance to give a TEDx talk and to travel to China and the Netherlands and Australia and Hong Kong. I've got to speak at the White House. I transitioned into a job as a professor where I get to work with a cohort of emerging teachers and watch them develop in their craft. I've gotten to watch my kids grow older and wiser and surprise me with their kindness and empathy. I've had the opportunity to witness former students who are changing the world in profound and amazing ways. So with that in mind, I want to share a few of the lessons that I've learned in this last decade of my life that is just about to come to an end as I move into my 40s. God, that feels so funny to say. Number one, the small life is the epic life. I remember being 31 and having really small kids at home. I was exhausted from teaching, and I was worried about how we would make it financially. I found myself daydreaming. Life will be better when the kids are older. Life will go more smoothly when we have more money. Life will be more fun when it's summer break. But then I remembered that life wasn't supposed to be easy and conflict-free. Yes, that leads to happiness, but that doesn't lead to satisfaction. Life is much more like an epic. It's meant to be an epic, which means there will be big conflicts and challenges to navigate, but those are the things that will change you as a person. This was my reminder to live in the moment and to never say life will be better when. I never want to be someone who only lives for vacations or for weekends. I also believe that the epic life is, well, small. I've had dreams of making it big as an author, writing that fiction story that becomes a bestseller, or starting a company that does something amazing. You get the idea. But the truth is, while it would be a cool ego boost to have that kind of external success, the epic life is small. The epic life is playing board games with your kids and hanging out with your best friends. It's sharing a pint with the neighbors. It's being goofy and smiling and laughing and singing at the top of your lungs and learning how to dance again. That's the epic life. It's having those hard conversations and being vulnerable with somebody that you love so much that you never knew you could love that person as much as you do. That's the epic life. Number two, break up with busy. This is not a new idea, right? I've talked about this in tons of podcasts, but I had a moment right around the age of 30. I think I was actually right at 30 when I broke up with busy. When I quit committees, I learned how to say no. And I told myself that chasing after success, going on that hamster wheel, just wasn't worth it anymore. I remember I was playing catch with my son, and I wanted to play catch, and he begged me to play catch, and I said, when I have time, and I continued to grade, and then I continued to grade, and he kept saying, is there still time? And finally, I played catch with him, and we just played, and I feel like if we were throwing the ball back and forth, and back and forth, and back to forth. And he kept asking all the time. He kept saying, is there still time? Is there still time? He was so afraid I would leave. And at the very end, when the sun had set and we had to go inside and it was getting dark, that just was burned in my memory. That question, is there still time? And the answer is there's not. All we have is the time that we have right now, which is why I never, ever, ever want to lose that. I always want to make time for what matters. So again, that's when I broke up with busy. That's when I started coaching less. That's when I started to, and not that there's anything wrong with coaching. Some people, that is what gives you life. You love coaching. It's when I quit committees. It's when I basically said, I'm going to be a teacher and I'm going to make stuff that I care about. And I'm going to be a dad and I'm going to be a husband and I'm going to be a friend. And those are the things that matter most. This was when I really learned the difference between being busy versus being productive. And this last year, things got a little bit busy again for me. I was working on my doctorate. I overcommitted on projects. I said yes to too many things. And again, I found myself going back to this idea of breaking up with busy. My tagline for this year, my mantra is have a great day. And great is spelled G-R-E-Y-T, as in Greyhound. Again, it's a bad dad joke, but it's my reminder. Have a great day. This is a reminder to rest, which is what my Greyhound does. It's a reminder to be an introvert, which is what my Greyhound is. It's a reminder to take care of myself, to have a personal genius hour. That's what this is all about. Number three, I've learned how to be vulnerable. This is one of the hardest lessons for me. Now, when I say be vulnerable, it's the idea of asking for help. It's the idea of depending on other people. I never thought that I would be in this way, but on a creative level, my favorite projects have been collaborative. I've co-written two books with AJ Giuliani, the books Launch and Empower. I co-wrote a novel, Wendell the World's Worst Wizard, with my wife. I've partnered with Chris Kessler to do STEM curriculum and Bonnie Hamer to do from Presto Plans to do things like creative thinking challenges and team builders and creative alternatives to book reports, things like that. And the bottom line is I've gotten really into collaborative projects, and that takes a level of vulnerability. But this has also been true on a personal level. I've had to learn how to be vulnerable with people I trust. I've had to engage in hard conversations with people I care about. I've had to learn how to avoid walking away from conflict. And in the process, I have learned how to share more of who I am with people I really love and trust. I've learned how to ask for help. I've learned how to share all of who I am. Again, on a personal level, this is why I'm about to start counseling to work through some anxiety. I remember for the longest time I said, you know, this is mild to moderate anxiety. It's not debilitating. It hasn't prevented me from functioning in life. I can get up in the morning. I'm fine. But now at 40, I'm saying, actually, I need to work through some of this crap. You know, if I want to be healthy emotionally, I really do need to talk to an expert. If a relatively healthy person can go see a personal trainer, I can go to counseling without feeling any stigma attached to it. So again, number three is this idea of learning how to be vulnerable and also learning how to ask for help. Number four, which is very similar to this, listen to the feedback that matters. On the topic of trust and transparency, I've learned how to listen to feedback that actually matters. Now, I know this sounds odd, but a few years ago, when I posted my first YouTube video, I was terrified of the negative feedback I would receive. I felt insecure the first time I got one-star reviews on Launcher Empower on Amazon. But my growth has been in learning how to let go of that feedback and learning how to trust the people who are worthy of trust and listen to their feedback while kind of pushing away or ignoring the feedback from people who don't matter. As it doesn't mean I ignore, you know, all feedback from strangers. It's just that, you know, I learn how to give more weight to the people who really matter. And what this has done is it has allowed me to take bigger creative risks, which leads to point number five, take creative risks. A decade ago, I didn't share any of my sketches with anyone. Like, you would never find a drawing from John Spencer anywhere online. Now I include my sketches in my blogs, in my books, in my slideshows, in the keynotes that I do, in my videos, in the courses I make. I actually walked around town on Saturday wearing a hoodie of the Greyhound that I sketched. Yes, like a Greyhound hoodie. I can't believe that, right? That's so odd. But that's me learning how to take creative risks. In the next few days, I'll be adding a merchandise store with you know, some of my drawings and sayings that I have on t-shirts and hats and sweatshirts and stickers, things like that. You know, basically a swag store. And a decade ago, I would have scoffed at the idea of selling work. I would have called it selling out. But now I realize that what I labeled as selling out was just me being afraid to launch at the time. I hid my voice and my creativity, and I just won't do that anymore. At 40, I'm much more comfortable with who I am. This last decade has been a journey of taking creative risks, and some of them have gone really well and some of them haven't. It's meant putting myself out there when I felt like an imposter. It included helping design and launch a student blogging platform, which ultimately I left after a while because it just didn't fit anymore. It was not the work I wanted to be doing. It's meant launching a podcast, which you're listening right now. It's meant moving from Arizona to Oregon and stepping into higher education, even though I didn't have a doctorate. It meant saying yes to my first keynote, even though I was terrified to speak in front of an audience. And then over time, growing more and more comfortable with doing that on a regular basis. The bottom line is I never want to stop taking creative risks. I never want to settle into comfort. Number six, judge less and celebrate more. You know those self-righteous people who refuse to own a television? Yeah, that was me at 21. When my wife and I were engaged, our first argument was about whether or not we would own a TV, and she rightly called me out for being smug and elitist. And you know what? She was absolutely right. That's who I was. So years later, we binge watch our favorite shows. Like, I watch a lot of TV, and I'm glad I did because I was absolutely moved. In fact, moved to tears with two TV shows that you probably shouldn't cry at, which is Parks and Rec and The Good Place. I absolutely love the TV show Sherlock and can watch that over and over and over again. But I spent so much of my youth railing against things only to fall in love with those things in my 30s. I hated pop music, and now after having kids, I might have just been blasting Taylor Swift in my office right now. I made fun of those dog owners who treat their pets like a member of the family, but now I am that dog owner who wears a sweatshirt of a sketch that I made of my own dog and wears it all around downtown Salem. Like, who does that? And the answer is me. In teaching, I was anti-homework. I railed against it. I angry tweeted about it. I now, though, can see it as much more nuanced. Make homework meaningful, make it optional, gradually ramp it up over time. But it's not inherently evil. I railed against the school system itself. I used to say that it's like a prison, but then I saw children who found school to be an absolute refuge, and I realized I was wrong. At 40, I can still have the occasional cynical streak, but something inside me has changed. Instead of assuming that something is automatically wrong, I am quick to say, in what context is this right? I am far more likely to celebrate what I love than cynically insult what I don't love. If I don't particularly get a style of music, I can say that's not my taste, but maybe it would be if I was exposed to it a little more. And by the way, I'm not saying that we ignore injustice. I'm not talking about toxic positivity here. There's a time and a place to say this is wrong and this is unjust. But by being less cynical, by being more hopeful, I'm actually better able to see real injustice in our world and try and do something about it. Yes, Comic Sans is annoying and I'm never gonna love it, but it's a waste of anger to rail against it so vehemently when I have former students who are undocumented and don't have a shot at the American dream. And when we have kids in cages at the American border. Number 7, be open-minded. I used to think that certain topics were shallow. This goes with my smugness. I didn't understand why students wanted to write about fashion or video games or skateboarding, but I learned in my 30s that there's no such thing as a shallow topic. I'll share the story later, but I was blown away with three kids who made this fashion blog, and what they wrote about was so powerful that I learned that fashion isn't shallow. It's in fact, there's no such thing as a shallow topic, just a shallow understanding of that topic. And now I can appreciate fashion. I don't have a great sense of fashion. And if you look at me, you certainly wouldn't call me fashionable, but I can appreciate it. I can say fashion is pretty awesome. Fast forward 9 years from that moment, and I just finished binge watching a Netflix fashion reality show. I think it was called like Next in Fashion or something. And when I don't get something, whatever it is that I don't get, I now see that I probably have a shallow understanding of it. I now delight in learning about stuff that might have once seemed trivial. And that's what matters. This last decade has been a journey in becoming more open-minded. I have fewer convictions, but I hold them more tightly. My views have evolved and grown more nuanced. And as I move forward, I want to be open to new ideas and new possibilities. I never want to stop listening to new music or trying new foods. I never want to gripe about kids these days. At 40, I'm still discovering new things about myself and my world, and my hope is that this continues to be my trajectory in the future. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.